At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs episode, another episode of the No Bad Dogs, however you want to put it. Hope you guys are all well. I want to just say, as always, thank you guys so much for watching and listening to this podcast. We are the number one dog training podcast in the world because of you guys. And I just wanted to let you guys know this year we are working on more guests. We are actively working on more guests to get some more, because I understand that I have a huge opportunity right here with this podcast. It is something I really enjoy doing. I love talking to people about dogs. It's just honestly something I started doing because I wanted to be more efficient. If I'm talking to people about dogs and I could record it and then put it out in a medium that can help other people, and that's where the podcast is, and it's grown to, again, like the number, like if you go to Spotify or iTunes and you just type in dog training, this podcast will come up, which is fantastic. And it's just like, holy crap, pretty cool. And I think that what we're trying to do right now is I'm thinking like, well, if I had more guests on to actually help more people with other things like health or nutrition or medication or training or whatever, it'll be even bigger. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm focused on this year is try to get a cumulative of 12 guests, which would be an average of a guest every month. And so if anybody has any recommendations, hit me up on Instagram. I'm not really I'm more eager and motivated to have people on that aren't trainers that can, you know, because I mean, how long have you guys listened to this podcast to understand, like, you know, you not that it's, you know, bad, and I've had trainers on, it's pretty much all I've had on, but we're looking for like just people in the dog world that are outside of training to get a broader view and audience type of thing. Anyway, hope you guys enjoy this podcast. It's with a young man that has had a unfortunate situation with his dog and his dad, and how to salvage that. And he asked some really great questions about other trainers and how to pick the right trainers. And again, I do these online sessions all the time, and I pick the ones that I think would be helpful. And this one is one of the ones. So enjoy this podcast. Thank you for listening. Love you guys. I'll talk to you next time. Peace. So what's going on?
So recently, my dog has been coming a little more aggressive, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Not like to the point of biting. He never gets to virtually that point. He has no bite history at all.
What kind of dog is he?
So I have he is a lab, a bird dog, and a Shar-Pei mix.
Oh, interesting. How old?
Yeah. 3.
Okay.
Yeah, he had just turned 3. We took him to like the groomers like 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like over the last couple like 6 months, then we've noticed like a change, kind of, you know what I mean, like in his behavior, kind of. So I don't know what honestly happened there. It was like a Petco, so you know what I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with it technically.
Okay, so you brought him. What's his name?
His name is Tate.
Tate. So you brought Tate into Petco to get groomed. So when you say aggression, is it towards people or is it towards dogs that this has started?
It is towards people. Okay. Virtually, mostly my father, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So it was like, it started out randomly and then like it's been more frequent, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And, before the phone call and after I made the appointment, I found out the reason why it was. He, when I wasn't here, he got a little physical with him. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? So
yep.
I'm trying to seek now instead of the other way on how to fix their relationship, kind of.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. It's unfortunate that happened because obviously that's avoidable, sure. But... Okay. Well, I think the first question is like, do you feel like your dad's willing to?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So what's the frustration between them? Like, what's the, why are we, you know, getting physical, and what causes that? Like, why is your dad frustrated with Tate in the first place?
I honestly don't really know. He's at work right now, so I can't really ask him. I should have, like, gotten more information, but
that's okay.
I haven't seen him in the past couple weeks, so. But, it's like, I don't know. It's just, like, last week, we were just sitting watching the football game, and my dad, like, got up and Tate just started to growl at him. Mm. So it was kind of like, as in, like, leave me alone, I'm assuming, you know what I mean? So.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, and so your dad got physical with Tate prior to that, and then when your dad got up, Tate was like aggressive because, you know, maybe he was didn't want
to, like, intimidated, or like just wasn't nothing to do with it, kind of, you know,
right?
I mean?
So. Right, and that didn't happen before, right? Like this is new.
So yeah, I mean, like. So, like, he's, like, sometimes when he's on my bed, I tell him, like, off. He's good with commands. He gets off. Then sometimes if I actually hit him, he, like, growls and gets off. So, he's, like, more recently in the past, like, 6 months.
Okay. Interesting. Do you have any other feelings about this? I mean, do you feel – what was the thing you said about the groomer? Is that what you thought made him aggressive prior to your knowledge about your dad before, or?
So yeah, like he was like a running on the mill, like, happy dog, and then we dropped him off for like a couple of, like, 4-3 hours, because Sharpays, you know, have a thick, like, coat and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
like I was told by the guru that it's gonna need like 3 or 4 hours to fully get it off and stuff and go through it, kinda.
Yeah.
That's what I was told. And then, like, over the couple of weeks, we've seen, like, it changes his, like, behavior. He's, like, avoiding, like, situations, kind of, stuff like that.
Did you, I mean, it's kind of after the fact now, but did you ask the groomers any, like, if there was anything that happened? Yeah, I mean,
or? Obviously, like, they're not going to.
Right,
like,
okay.
So, you know what I mean? It's kind of like.
Is that the first time that you brought Tate there?
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know if it's just a new environment or something. I don't know.
Huh.
Like, yeah, like it's like a steady virtual change. It's becoming consistent now, which is kind of like, all right. So I'm trying to, like, figure out the situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, like, whole. His safe space is under my bed.
Okay. Like, does he have a crate? Does Tate have a crate?
Does.
Okay.
He does.
But he chooses under the bed?
Correct. That's his default. Like, under my bed or my parents' bed, he'll go over there and just, that's like his safe, like, comfortable area where he feels the safest in the house. So.
Okay. And he, when does he go there? Does he go there just when he's upset, or is he frustrated, or is there situations that happen in the house that make him feel that way, or to go under there to seek comfort?
It's virtually voluntarily. Like, you know, if we're having conversations, sometimes he'll disappear and go under there, you know, voluntarily. At night when I go to bed, him and my other dog, Milano, go under there. Such like their, like, area, I guess. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
to say the least.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the two dogs get along.
They do. Yeah, they're like brothers, basically.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let me just back up a little bit. Okay. So.
Sure.
So Tate's never had any issues. Never growled. Never been aggressive or shown any aggressive behavior. Correct. Okay, and then just to make it an easy timeline, you bring your dog in to the groomer at PetSmart. You pick your dog up, and then you come back, and your dog was it the growling to your dad that you were like, "Hey, this is really weird," and then you just kind of thought like, "Oh, maybe the incident with PetSmart is what created this," and then your dad was like, "Well, actually, you know, Tate did something earlier, and I got physical with him, and probably that's why." Is that what happened?
So the thing with my dad, I was told about it like 2 weeks ago. Like, it happened like a couple of days after Christmas, so I didn't know that until like, but the groomer was like around 6 months ago, so it was like a little change, kind of. He started avoiding more.
Avoiding your
He
dad.
was avoiding everybody, kind of, for a little bit. So he's been getting better and being more social.
Okay. So I would say, just by what you've said so far, is that, and yeah, I don't know. This is just what I would think, is
That's fine.
obviously Tate, like, you know, lo assumably, like, loves your family, good relationship with everybody. Obviously did something that upset your dad, frustrated your dad or whatever, and then your dad got physical with him, caused him, you know, physical and emotional damage, right? And then now your dog, like, humans will do this too. It's very common behavior. Like, you trusted somebody, they broke your trust, and now they don't trust you. So now they're looking around like, well, who else do I not trust then? Because I thought that I was safe here or whatever, right? So I would say that the goal would be what you just kind of led to, is that the dog starts to get more, the ideal best scenario here would be that the dog starts to get more comfortable, starts to get more confident, and go, okay, maybe that was a one-off. I'll just start, you know, trusting and getting back to the way that the world was before, and that would be the ultimate goal. And I think that that would be the easiest low-hanging fruit, because outside of that, like, you would, it's almost like this emotional damage that the incident with your dad and your dog, like, when a dog's like, hey, I don't trust my family anymore, it's like, what, you know, like, how do you, I mean, other than desensitization, which is essentially, you know, going out and doing things with the dog, like, hey, everything's fine between us, we've always, you know, been fine, and whatever, like, that's what you would do, is just, you know, bringing the dog out, rewarding the dog, having fun with the dog, just teaching the dog, like, hey, we're all good, like, as always, you know, no change. And the dog starts to go, okay. That, I mean, that would be the roadmap there, is to kind of go back to, well, I'm going to show you that, like, we're still cool and everything's good, like, nothing's changed. And then obviously, going back to what you were saying about, like, rebuilding the relationship with with Tate and your dad would be, I mean, it's got to go, it's, I mean, your dad really has to, like, so basically the way that, yeah, your dad has to, like, commit to it, because if, you know, if you're basically, you're telling Tate, like, hey, come on, we're gonna go work with dad again, like, everything's gonna be, you know, everything's gonna be fine, and you're basically advocating, you know, for, because you're basically putting your trust with your dog on the line, essentially, right? Because it'd be like a human relationship. Like, oh, well, I had a really bad experience with this one person. You're like, oh, trust me, they've changed. Like, it's better. Like, they're better. And that's fine. Like, people change, and, you know, nobody's perfect. And, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but how do we get past it? How do we build from it? How do we get better? Right? That's the question. And that would be like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna, I'm gonna, you're gonna basically be the middle person here. And then, you know, and then your dad would obviously have to, like, go through the process, and it's important for your dad to remain calm and, you know, not freak out, and obviously not ever do what he did before, and because that'll just damage trust. And to be honest with you, like, obviously, I mean, I don't have to say it out loud, but it's like, no dog likes that, and no person likes that. But to be honest and transparent, there are certain dogs, because I used to be an animal control officer, so I used to deal with a bunch of shit all the time, to be honest. And some dogs, dude, they're so resilient that, like, I've seen people be really distasteful to dogs on a big spectrum, and they don't care. They're like, yeah, that's okay, you know, whatever. You did this to me, and I still love you, whatever. But some dogs are more, they could be more sensitive. So I would just say, like, that. So anyway, obviously, it seems like Tate has a good reason to be afraid of your dad, or skeptical of your dad, or anxious, or it's causing it. I mean, honestly, man, it would be like same thing with people. is like all of a sudden somebody that you trust and, you know, and I don't know the full relationship, but maybe like loved your dad and trusted your dad and was around your dad. And then, you know, that incident happened and now your dog's like walking on eggshells, right? It's like, that's what's happening. And that's why like we're going under the bed more often. That's why crates for dogs are, you know, a good thing because they naturally will just seek like more comfort in, you know, in the crates. It's just like their, mm-hmm. Their safe area, if you will.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that would be, I mean, just a very, upfront, like a very easy low hanging fruit way to start the process of that. Yeah.
Cool.
What questions do you have on that?
Not many really. It's just the process that has to be get done, obviously. You know, I don't want no hostility anywhere.
Exactly, man.
Is what, you know, like what's done is done. We just gotta figure it out. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry that happened. It's tough. But you know, the silver lining here is this, that your dad was honest about it. Because you and I could be sitting here blaming or thinking about, oh, man, these PetSmart people, like, you know, what did they do? You know, when your dad was like, oh, actually, it's probably my fault, you know? So that's, that is good in my opinion. Like that. Yeah. That's like a silver lining that your dad was upfront about it to say like, hey, like this happened and I'm sorry. And I know it was wrong and I'm looking to get better. And that's, you know, I can't obviously say like how many times that could have happened to me in my career with other people. Like somebody did something that was, you know, distasteful or bad and we're trying to figure out the cause or working really hard and spend a lot of money on training when the reality is like somebody just did some shady things and that's why this is happening. So I would just say like it's unfortunate, but that's like a W that your dad was upfront about it. But exercises that I can tell you that are like helpful, like very neutral exercises, if your dad and or your dog is willing and able, would be just going for walks, like rebuilding that relationship through walks, like going out and just basically every second that your dog, every second that Tate is around your dad, and they're having a neutral or even beneficial and good encounter is, you know, is good. So like, I wouldn't be doing a ton of stuff inside because I feel like your dog will be like more vulnerable. Like when your dad got up and your dog was like, oh, you know, sure. What's going to happen? Right. So I would just say like,
it's the environment, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
The environment, potentially, you know, the space in which the thing happened, right? And you know, that's like part of dog training is when dogs feel aversive things, right? So emotionally, physically, like if they don't like something, for example, they tend to not want to encounter, deal, be around, or associate themselves with anything that can cause them physical or emotional distress or discomfort, right? Like that's, or even pain. Like there's a difference between pain and discomfort, but regardless, like we want to stay away from that. And so when it's used in a way that isn't like, let's say like we cause discomfort if a dog jumps up on somebody because we don't want that to happen, right? Like that's appropriate. So the dog's like, every time and you can argue that, well, the dog is going to, so I'm just giving you like conditioning responses that dogs will have. And you could say like, oh, well, the dog is going to then fear the person. It's like, no, it's the moment that the dog comes up and jumps on somebody is when the discomfort happens or when the aversive correction happens or when the pressure happens, however you want to call it. And so anyway, so it's just important that, you know, dogs are obviously very, very smart and they condition very easily. So it's very important to try to recondition your dog to better experiences, to more enjoyable experiences with your dad as much as you can.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, Tate's like one of like the smartest dogs I've ever owned, to be honest with you. He's really smart. So it's I have no doubt it can get fixed. It's just time, obviously. So
Yeah, it almost is worse when a dog is actually more intelligent, more in line with themselves, right? Like they're just more in touch with themselves and more just educated, I guess, on their environment, or more in touch with their environment, because then it takes you more time to, to fix it, because because there are some dogs who are just like, oh, what? I didn't, like they're just goofy, right? And they're just, and
It's
if,
my other dog. My dog's a goofball.
right, and like, yeah, whatever, what, yeah, and then like, if Tate's more like, no, I'm on to this. Like I'm very keen on these things. Like I pick up on these things. Then it can make it harder, to do certain things. So anyway, yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, man. And I wish that you weren't in it. And I'm sure your dog does too. And I'm sure your dad does too. But it is what it is. But what questions do you have on that?
Not many, really. I think you answered virtually all of them that need to be, you know what I mean? So that's good. I have like a couple pre I have some other questions about some stuff. So my girlfriend is moving into my house.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
In like 2 weeks.
Okay.
She has two cats. They're like two and three also. Advice on integrating after a couple like a week. You know what I mean? Any advice to
Yeah, I would just say
like
like, yeah, do your do you know if your dogs have like a strong prey drive? Like, do you feel like they're like, okay. Have they been around cats before?
They have nuts.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead.
One thing, one of her cats had to have emergency surgery. He had a blockage in his thing. We t one of my dog's crates and brought it to her house as his like just came contained for his like recovery. And then we brought like all the blankets over because we knew it was going to be happening. This happened like 2 months ago, so we knew he was going to be moving in. So we brought the cage, the blankets, the pillows, and stuff that he used like for the week. Over and let the dogs smell them, like kind of like get them used to different smells, like the pheromones and stuff. So we're trying to like do it as seamless as possible, but I don't know, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's good. So you could do like like you can bring like you're not obviously worried about the cats getting along with the dogs. It's the other way around. So it's tough, man. It's like if you think about it, it's like we're gonna get, it's like the old Tom and Jerry thing. We're gonna get, these dogs, that have this natural prey drive to chase to chase to chase cats around, to chase animals around, to chase furry animals that run around, right? It's like a it's a it's a normal thing, right? It's a prey drive. So I think the best thing to do is, I mean, the more obedience you have, is definitely the better, right? So you can't change the fact that your dogs may want to chase the cats, but you can stop the dogs from chasing the cats, right? And I think the next thing is just making sure that the cats are the way that your home is set up, that your cats have the ability to seek safety and comfort. So like I know for an example, I've lived with dogs and cats my entire life. I have a cat right now. I have two dogs and they chase him around and he basically will just run and jump on a table, jump on a counter, and that ends it. And then he usually turns around and just swats him in the face, and that's typically how that goes. But I think that that's important too. Like if your home isn't laid out in a way that allows the cats to get to a air quotes safer place, then you know that is difficult, because then basically the dog just, because essentially like it excites the dogs. They're like, ooh, cat, chase. The cat yeah. runs, the dog's like getting super excited, super stimulated, and then what ends up happening is that once the dog gets to the cat, it's like usually dogs will just be like, they'll just bump them with the nose and go, hey, you know, run again, that was fun. But if you do have a dog that actually likes to do like the whole routine of prey drive, then they'll put their mouth in the cat, and you know, obviously you want to be mindful of that. But you know, my dogs growing up, and this is just, I think I've gotten a little bit lucky on this, but it's like my dogs growing up have always been around cats, and my cats have always been pretty confident about turning around and swatting the dog in the face. So if the cats aren't also familiarized with dogs, then they may, it'll go either way. And sometimes like the cat turns around, swats the dog, and that's it. I've also had, anyway, I could go all day about that. But I think the most important thing for you is to play it safe and make sure that you have good training with Tate and the other dog. I would introduce him slow. I would do baby gates. I would do, and it's really just it's kind of like a feel it out thing, but
yeah. Like you said, our plan is to have like the extra room we have is like an extra guest bedroom. Mm-hmm. We're going to make that like the cat's like safe space kind of, we're going to put a baby gate. We already have a tall cat tree that they can go up on.
Cool.
Stuff like that. So trying to make it as easy and comfortable for them as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Let them have their own, if they're feeling they have their own little area to go.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's it. That's what you want to do you want to give them a safe place. Again, like don't make it,
don't force anything either.
Yeah, exactly. You know, don't do, you know, like put the cat right up to the dog. That's not going to go well. And just make it, you know, it is what it is. It's a natural thing. And you know, again, like some clients will, I kind of have this saying that I've been working on because it's going to be really helpful. It's like, you can't, like if a lab or a golden retriever likes to swim, I always tell people like, you can't force a lab not to want to jump in the water, but you can prevent them from getting wet, which is essentially is they're sitting there and they're like, I want to go. And you're like, you can't. So you can't change, like if your dog wants to chase the cat, but you can change the dog from chasing the cat. You know what I mean? Like, it's like us, like, you know, with anything else, like whatever it is, like staying up late, sleeping in, that one extra donut, one extra bagel or one extra beer, whatever it is. It's like, man, I just gotta, you know, so you're not going to be able to change like what you want to do, but you got to have self-control sometimes. And that's where obedience comes in a lot with these situations and managing that. But yeah, man, I think for safety reasons, yeah, give them the cat tree, the little cat poles are good so they can jump up and get out of the dog's hair. And I think you'll tell pretty quickly like what the intentions are too, if the dogs are like neutral or whatever. But you know, there are risks. I mean, I have my in-laws have a husky that lived with a cat for years and then one day just killed it. You know, not to be too dark or anything. I'm just being real with you that there always are risks when you deal with a dog that really wants to go after a cat or has a prey drive to chase the cat. But I can also say like even my dog Lakota has lived with a cat her whole life and she chases the cat every day, but I never would think that it would go, you know, any further than what it is now. She has a prey drive. So she chases the cat. She jumps on the cat. She pounces and she's like, move. And it ends there. And so, you know, I guess my, you know, be cautious, be safe, but also be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we're not trying to force anything. We kind of make it as, you know, easy for both like parties as possible. Mm-hmm. We've been reading about some other stuff, you know, like making them eat and smell them through the door kind of next to each other and stuff. Just get them used to each other's smells and stuff first. Okay. My next question is, both the dogs get really excited when we come home or if I go to bed, they see my parents in the morning. How do I balance their excitement without making it feel like I'm punishing them for being excited?
That's a great question. So it's kind of like the management that we talked about with the cats is, let's say your parents come home, or anybody really, like your girlfriend or whatever, somebody comes in, your dog is like, you're here, cool, let's hang out, let's have fun. It'd be an obedience thing. It'd be more of a management thing of, managing what the dog is doing. So it's very similar to what we were talking about before with the cats, is your goal and your efforts shouldn't be towards, I don't want you to be excited when the person you like comes in, right? Like, that's not realistic or fair. And it's not what you want. So it'd be more like, okay, what are the things that we don't like? The things that we don't like are maybe when somebody comes in, they're carrying stuff and the dogs are in the way, or maybe they're jumping or they're spinning or they're whining or they're barking or whatever. Like, there's many things that dogs can do on entry that can cause frustration at the very least, let's say. So what you really want to focus on is, again, like, what do you want? Well, for an example, like, what are your dogs? Like, give me an example. Like, what do they do?
So say in the morning, everyone in the house works retail, so we're up kind of early in the morning, like 5 or 6, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I don't want to like be like kind of talking loud, you know what I mean, waking everybody up in the house. Right. So I kind of like push them away kind of for, because they get excited. They like Tate, he likes to like not howl, but like kind of howl like our, like, you know, mm-hmm. and he like grabs a toy to like run around with, like trying to channel his excitement, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
To try to temperament it a little bit. Milano does the same thing. They get in the way. Sometimes they jump up. They've been getting better with not jumping up, but just teaching like restraint, I guess, like you were talking about with the cats, kind of.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yep. So good. Good information. So I would just say, like, for an example, my dogs will do this too. If we're like leaving the house, right, for a walk or something, and they know it, they're excited. I have a huge giant mastiff, and then I have just a shepherd. And so it's like, it's a lot. And I have two young kids, but a 2-year-old that can walk. And so, again, I'm not going to say, hey, don't be excited for this walk. It's going to be more like what I do with my mastiff a lot is I'll just down him. So like, let's say you wake up in the morning and let's say I'm walking out the door with my son and my mastiff realizes that we're going for a walk and he comes barreling. I'm not going to be mad or upset or even expect him, hey, don't be excited to go for a walk. It's like a big thing, right? It would be more of, he's running, he's going to knock potentially my son over. I would down him. So it's an obedience thing, right? So it's like, as I was talking about the lab, like, you can't stop the lab from wanting to jump in the water, but you can stop him from getting wet, right? So it's when your dogs are running around the house, it would be like, if you don't have good communication. So obedience is essentially manners. So when we teach kids, again, like, let's say we go to Disneyland and the kids are like, and they're crazy, right? Or whatever, like, whatever the context is, but the kids are excited to run across the parking lot and get in there and see Mickey Mouse. It's going to be your obedience would be your manners. It would be, hey, pay attention to me, hold my hand, look both ways. Like, those are the things that we would do to manage the situation to make it safe and to make it more enjoyable too, right? So I think that that's like something that you should be really focusing on, is like, if you wake up in the morning and you're trying to make it a calmer experience for everyone, for your dogs, for you, for your family, it would be like, that's what I would be doing, is I would be down, stay, you're getting your coat on, you're getting your leash, whatever. But that also goes down to, like, again, the dogs are excited. You're up. Oh yeah, cool. This is exciting. I grab a toy. I start ripping around the house, right? Just shredding carpet. And you're like, oh, people are sleeping or, you know, whatever. And that would be like, what are you going to say? Like, hey, don't be excited. It's like, no.
Yeah.
What do you, okay. And then, so my next question is, as a professional, which I know the answer is, like, all right, well, what do you want your dogs to do? Well, I want them to stop ripping around the house because they're going to wake everybody up. It's like, okay, that's a down. That's a stay. That's a place command, right? So I know it's not the answer you might want to hear of like a quick fix, but the reality is you know, that's what it is you should be really focusing on, like, whenever you, just in general, like if you have frustrations with your dogs, you should ask yourself, like, well, okay, what do I want them to do? Realistically, right? And I've already gone through the idea of, like, we can't stop them from wanting to be, or even on the other end of the spectrum of a dog being reactive. Like, let's say a dog doesn't like another dog, right? I just talked to somebody before I got on the phone with you. It's like, she's like, oh, when we're out walking and off-leash dogs approach, my dogs react. I'm like, okay, like, that's warranted. Like, that's a fair reaction, right? So I'm not going to tell my dog, like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's like, nah, this off-leash dog is, like, you know, trolling us right now. Like, are they stalking us? Like, what are they doing, right? So then it would be more of a, okay. And I would say, like, what do you want your dog to do then? I want him to stop barking. Okay, how's your leave it? Well, it's like, okay. And then it would be a heel, right? So, well, they keep looking back and stopping. Well, how's your heel? Right, so you always have to, like, ask yourself whenever you're frustrated with your dog, what do you want them to do? And then the next question is like, okay, do you have that? I want them to stop barking. Do you have that command? You know, and it's like, but I think, like, I start calling it, like, the stop syndrome, where dog owners just want to stop something. I'm like, it's just not how it works. You can't just stop something. You have to understand why it's happening. So in your case, again, like, dogs are fired up, you're awake, it's a fun time, maybe you're going for a walk, maybe you're letting them outside, whatever. So it would be more of a, hey, sit down, stay right here. And that's what I do with my dogs. They get up, they're excited, they're like, you know, and again, they will kind of bounce between, where are we going? Are we going to the back door? Are we going to the front door? Are we going to, where's, you know, and they're excited. And if my kids are up, or if I'm just like, hey, too much, because the other thing is like, they will do it. I'm not stopping them from doing it. I'm managing what they're doing. So if I don't put them into a down, they are going to, you know, crawl on each other. Yeah, and they're going to get excited, and they're going to jump up, and they're like, ah, we're doing it. We're doing the thing, especially first thing in the morning where they haven't, you know, I try to get at least 2 walks in, maybe 3 a day with my dogs. And so, you know, they're fired up. And so again, like, I just down. And no, do they want to? No. But again, that gets part of parenting too. It's like, does my son want to take a bath every night? Like, no, he wants to, like, you know, go play more, right? And he doesn't want to go to bed. You know, it's just like things that we have to do. So it's the same thing as dog owners is like, but you have to have the skill sets to accomplish those goals. And that's the missing link.
Gotcha.
You know, dog owners are like, I just want to stop it. I'm like, you can't just stop it. Like, it's an exciting time. So.
Gotcha. Cool. Just a follow up. Your dogs sleep in your room, or they sleep in their crates?
My mastiff sleeps in his crate, and my other dog sleeps in our room.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I know Lakota and Burley. I watch the videos a lot. So.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm well versed in, like, you and stuff like that, and your training and stuff. I was impressed with Burley's, like, training and stuff, so.
Thank you. He's a tough dog to train.
So, yeah, he's a, yeah, but it seems to be working so far, so, obviously, so. So, yeah, just curious about that. So, basically, everything circles back to training and obedience, virtually.
Yeah, I mean, it for me, it's just like, I would say yes. It's going to go back to training, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's like the things that you're dealing with they're not going to go away. Like, hey, I want my dog to, you know, again, it's like, I get up in the morning and my dogs are going so excited. It's like, how do I stop that? How do I, you know, they're running around and they're trying to, you know, wake everybody up. It's like, you're not going to stop that. Like, what you're going to do is you're going to say, hey, go to your bed and lay down. Because if you really look at it as an equation, or as a formula, okay. So the dogs are running around. That's the problem. If you tell your dog to go to their bed and lay down, Will that stop the problem? Yes. Yeah. Will it stop them from wanting to run around? No. But that's not realistic, right? So, yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Cool. And I just have one more question.
Sure.
To be fair.
Sure.
Don't feel obligated to answer this one. I don't want to put you in a position to, you know, put your beliefs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted a company called Barkbusters for maybe for aggressive training with tape before I found out the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about that company and or Michael DeStacio in particular? Like I said, I don't want to put you in a position to talk ish on anybody.
I appreciate that. It's so my understanding, I'll give you all the knowledge I know. My understanding is Barkbusters is a franchise. It's a mm-hmm. chain that is operated by individual owners of the branch, and so I don't.
It's like a franchise type thing.
Correct. Yeah, it's like a franchise. It's like there's like Barkbusters, Sit Mean Sit, Off Leash Canine. Like those are all franchises. So I can't really say much about because it's all individual, right? It's like the same thing as like I definitely have had really good Chipotles and I've had really bad Chipotles. I'm like, yo, this Chipotle sucks, you know, like. So, and then I've had really good ones where it's like, you know, good management. And so that's kind of like the deal with that. I would just say, you know, make sure that you're looking at the reviews, you're looking at all the things, but I think reviews are really helpful and not just like one or two. It's like, you know, you're looking at like, you know, are people really... You know, are they doing good? You know, like that. Those are the things that you should be looking at.
Sure. Yeah, because I've recently trained all my dogs since I was like 12. So awesome. It's the first time I'd be contacting like an outside source for help. So I just don't want to make like a not wrong decision, but something that you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You understand the situation, like so.
Yeah, and I think you know, just take it slow. Just go in and just see like, hey, like I'm just feel it out. Like you don't have to be pushed into any scenario or anything. Just go and feel it out and just say like, hey, like these are the things that I'm working on. And you know, it's okay for you to say, how would you approach this? Like what would be your game plan? And you know, like if somebody were to ask me that, I would just transparently say like, I don't really know. Let's say, and I would just, you know, and I do all these consults so often. So I'm so used to like, well, okay, coulda, woulda, shoulda type things. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, it can be difficult to give somebody a complete roadmap without, you know, a lot of context of meeting the dog or whatever, but
sure.
Don't be afraid to say like, you know, have you worked with a dog with this aggression before? And what do you traditionally do for something like this? And don't be afraid to ask those questions to get more answers, to make you feel more comfortable. That way you're not wasting your time or your money, you know?
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the insight. I truly appreciate your time.
Yeah. No worries. Yeah, it's great to meet you. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck moving forward with, you know, your dad's relationship with Tate. And I think that that'll be healthy for you guys to create that confidence with each other and maybe like help your dad out too on like why he was so frustrated to get physical. It's like, obviously, and to be honest, like a lot of times it just happens out of frustration. Like a dog does something and the you know, trainers do that shit all the time too. Like, trainers will just like, that's like, you know, that's the only downfall to putting equipment with trainers who are short tempered or unskilled, right? They just take it out on the dog. And unfortunately it's not good. So anyway, so I think it's healthy for you and your dad and your dog to kind of like, you know, get back to the drawing board and say, hey, how can we can salvage this relationship?
Gotcha. All right, man. Thank you very much again. Hope you have a good night.
All right, man. You too. Take care. Best of luck.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them. Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free. TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.